Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, let's roll through our plugs. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. It'll definitely be there. You just never know what time it's actually going to show up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, I greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find me on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime. That's BurkTime, if you would like to hunt me down or look me up over there. And I've been waiting, since FanDuel gave me $10, I've been playing daily fantasy, and it's kind of helping me, I guess, make me feel a little better about the baseball season. I haven't been thrilled with, the 60 games and all the stuff that kind of went on with it. I wanted to make sure I get my lineup in, because, like I said, they gave everybody $10, so you're kind of playing with house money, more or less. So I'm waiting for all the lineups to become official. And, I know it was surprising that the Orioles-Marlins lineup hasn't came out yet, because I have Jesus Aguilar, the Marlins first baseman DH guy, in my lineup, and I'm kind of waiting to see if he's going to start. So I've been flipping around and searching around and looking for lineups, and everyone I find has the Orioles lineup released, which is great, because I decided to put Renato Nunez on my home run derby team today. But for the life of me, I just can't find a Marlins lineup. And, I still have a little bit of time. I don't think the game starts till 6:30 or 7:30. I'll have to do a quick double check here while I'm rambling along. But, like I said, it's just one of those things where it's like, it's the Marlins' first game back from their virus incident, and I just want to make sure that, it's a 6:35 start, so I just want to make sure that, that this is their lineup, and, this is kind of how it's going to go down. And even here, there's still no lineup announced, as I'm looking on my tablet on the Major League Baseball app here. So, I don't want to scramble last minute and have to try to throw guys in a lineup, because, that never does anybody any good. But, I'm trying to be patient, and it can be a little nerve-wracking. I know, I have two lineups going today, and I have Altuve in one and Alex Bregman in the other. And I'm not too concerned about those two guys getting the start tonight for the Astros. It's more a rarity when those two guys can't find their way into the lineup. So I'm not overly worried about that. But, the Marlins, I don't know, what they're going to come up with. And then the fact that, I play FanDuel, and Aguilar is a really good deal for first baseman on FanDuel. He's $2,800. And it'll be difficult to find another – I would probably end up having to go with a catcher in that spot, because if you remember, I think it was last year FanDuel combined the catcher first base position. So there's, most nights there's really no need to play a catcher unless you think a guy has got fantastic value, because otherwise, the first baseman, you know, I think in all honesty, you'd rather have a $2,800 first baseman over a $2,800 catcher. Because, yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, catching-wise, who would be big daily fantasy producers. And, I mean, you know, obviously they're all home run guys, but, you know, do any of them put up enough numbers to where you would really be, oh, yeah, I've got to have that catcher in my lineup. And, you know, I mean, obviously there's some. I mean, if you get Gary Sanchez on the right night or Salvador Perez on the right night, you know, Wilson Contreras may be, you know, a guy you look at. But there, you know, I mentioned three catchers out of, what is it, 32 teams? So, you know, that's just, you know, unfortunately, that's just kind of how the position goes. You know, while there are quality hitting catchers, as you know, as far as daily fantasy goes, they're not prime time plays where, you know, first baseman or where you get your, you know, your bigger at bats in most cases. You know, I thought Aguilar would be a pretty good play if he's in the lineup. And, you know, that of course is the question now, is I have to kind of be patient and wait for this lineup to come out and, you know, hope that the game is going to be played and everything is okay. You know, humorously, I did see that Derek Jeter mentioned that I don't want to say so much feel the Marlins didn't do anything wrong, as he kind of tried to defend his team. I don't know if you saw his statement, but he mentioned that players only went out for milk, coffee, and then I don't know if it was a player or players had dinner at a friend's house. So somewhere along the line, you know, and again, like we've talked about it here before, you know, they could have caught it from a hotel employee, you know, when they had their outbreak. You know, or again, you know, you run into somebody at the store. Did they run into somebody at that dinner party? You know, and it's nothing, obviously, the team did intentionally. You're not going out and trying to catch this virus. It's just the nature that, you know, Major League Baseball is going to have to deal with, and so is the NFL. You know, they're going to allow their players to, you know, basically live your life. You're not going to be put in a bubble like the NBA and the NHL are, and it's great that they were able to do that. You know, I mean, baseball talked about it. You know, they mentioned having a couple separate areas, but, you know, maybe that would have been something they would have done had they had more games scheduled and we didn't get stuck with this, you know, 60-game season kind of forced upon us. So, you know, we just got to kind of wait and see, you know, what goes on or, you know, how it works out. But hopefully, you know, we'll get the, you know, the Marlins back tonight. I believe I saw that the Cardinals they're going to try to restart the Cardinals on Friday, when I believe they're actually playing the Cubs. I don't know if it's here in Chicago, you know, or in St. Louis, but that's, you know, that's that series. And, you know, all in all, you know, I know, again, and we, you know, we've mentioned it to here, you know, they like to kill baseball or any sport when it comes to this, but, you know, baseball has done a solid job of handling this. You know, obviously there's no protocol for it. You know, we've never had anything like this happen before. So, you know, you don't really know what to do or, you know, how to kind of go about it. So, we'll see. But yeah, man, I need that Marlins lineup to come out so I can, you know, I can kind of make sure that my daily fantasy lineup is set. So I'm just kind of pacing and waiting and hoping that that's the deal, or, you know, otherwise I'm going to have to go searching for another guy. And like I said, you know, that's never fun. So, oh, hey, there we go. Hi, Dan. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, no problem. I'm still waiting for my paycheck.
Me too. Can you tell me when they come in?
Uh-huh.
You know, that would be nice. I haven't seen one in a while, so it would be great if that would work out.
You're having trouble with the Marlins?
I need the lineup to be released. So, because you know how it is when you hate, you know, searching around and hunting around for a freaking, you know, replacement player, and for whatever reason they just haven't, you know, they haven't released their lineup yet, even though the game is supposed to start in a couple hours. I thought they were supposed to have them out by now.
Are they still under quarantine or?
No. Today is actually their first game back. So. So yeah, well, you know, today is the. The way it works, it does look like I'm okay with their lineup. Let's see if it changed here because they updated it differently. Where is he? Yeah, I'm okay. Jesus Aguilar is hitting cleanup for the Marlins tonight, so I'm safe. My lineup can stay as it is, and I don't have to worry about anything.
I mean, you made me kind of scared to even look at any of Marlins right now. Because, of course, they keep popping up.
Yeah, well, you know, now that they're back and playing, you know, everything should be fine. It was just a matter of, you know, how long before they come back. And, you know, it's like going through everything with the Cardinals now. You know, how long before they, you know, it's supposed to be Friday. So, you know, we'll see if that's, you know, that's the actual case with them.
Now, this is kind of interesting to me, and I don't know if you've noticed this. So I was putting together my FanDuel from one of the ones you sent me earlier, which I didn't get a chance to do earlier because of work. But, you know, that gets in the way, right? And this is so small and stupid, and I don't know if anyone else has noticed this, but did you notice that of all the players, Wilson Contreras, this picture, he's wearing his hat backwards?
Oh, no, I haven't noticed that yet. So,
it's something stupid, silly that I just thought I'd point out to you.
Yeah, I haven't... I have not seen that one. I haven't, you know, like a lot of times, you know, obviously I don't pay a ton of attention to what, you know, what guys are wearing or what guys are doing in those situations. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty, it's, you haven't picked him, I guess.
So, no, I'm trying to think if I don't think I have used him in anything. So.
I'm going to say I'm still annoyed, though, every time you invite me to a game. FanDuel likes to send me, like, 3 emails for each game.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah. And then, well, and then the more annoying part. No, it's annoying, Big Jack. But then when I click on it, it takes me to the website instead of the app. And then when I try to go to the app, then sometimes it doesn't pull the game up that you've sent me.
Yeah, I can see where that would be annoying.
Yeah. So, anyways, what were your thoughts on any of the games that went on yesterday? Anything stick out for you, or?
No, you know, I honestly didn't. I'm trying to think what the best way to describe it. I wasn't like super locked down on anything that was going on. You know, it was just kind of like, yeah, okay, you know, here we go. So, You know, I didn't pay, like, decidedly close attention. You know, like, I watched the start. You know, the White Sox got off to a nice start against the Brewers and ended up hanging on to win. So, you know, I thought that was, you know, that was cool, of course. But, yeah, other than that, it was just kind of like, okay, you know. You know, why, what did you see?
Nothing.
Yeah, but I, you know, I did want to get back. I actually remember what you brought up yesterday as we were headed off the air here, the, you know, the Chris Bryant thing, and you mentioned how locally a lot of the, you know, the local people have him already as being gone. You know, I'm kind of under the impression that, you know, they'll find a new home for him sometime this off season. You know, while they can still get a little bit of value for him. What were you kind of thinking with what was, you know, what was his deal?
I'm not going to say that David Ross knows anything. But, you know, you brought up the fact that yesterday, you know, Chris Bryant was leading off starting in left. And correct me if I'm wrong, I was just looking at it too. Damn it. I know he's leading off again tonight. And he is... Oh, back at third base. So I don't know if it was just a matter of Bodie getting a day off or, you know, the right-handed pitcher Singer that they're going up against and down in KC. You know, he might like Bryant better out there or, you know, even that, just playing left. Well, they put Souza Jr. in the lineup, so I like the guy, but, you know, with 10 at bats and, you know, batting 100, I think he's a great option to be putting out there. Whatever. So, you know, I was kind of under the theory yesterday when you brought up the fact that Chris Bryant's leading off and batting in left, playing left field, that this was kind of a presentation for what you just described and, you know, possible trades. And I think the biggest reason you would do that is to, I guess, show his versatility. And, you know, one of the things that's been discussed here locally and the reason why they wanted to put him in the outfield is something to do with, and this one just never caught me as well, is that he's too tall. So it will take him. Now really listen to this, Big Jack. He's too tall for third base. So it'll take him longer to stretch his arms down, or at least the one arm, to grab a ground ball. Well, depending on his wingspan, I would think that the proportion wouldn't really make a difference because his long arms would still be able to do that. And it's not like we're talking about a 40-year-old man like me who may not be able to bend as quickly with the knees. You know, we're talking about what? What is he, about 25 now? 26?
I think he's a little older than that.
27,
28?
I don't know. I think that's one of the dumbest things I've heard is, oh, he's too tall, so it's going to take him longer to get his glove on the ground to catch that ground ball. You know, it's stupid theory that was put out there. So, you know, I don't think that's one of the reasons, but I really think putting him out in left field right now shows the versatility and kind of a presentation to help move him because you want his bat in the lineup, obviously, and it doesn't really matter where it is. I don't understand the theory of having him bat first, but again, presentation is everything. And in the event that we have a 7-inning doubleheader, which they're going to have some doubleheaders coming up, well, at least one, and if it's back-to-back at 7 innings, you definitely want Chris Bryant in at first because he will get that one extra at bat. You know, you and I have kind of did a soft check on that with Mike Trout over the last couple of years, and you know, you noticed that it to you it really didn't make a difference. He still seemed to get the same amount of at bats as the guys, you know, batting below him. So I think that's one of the reasons you would want to keep Brian up there. And then last night, I guess what stuck out to me against the Cubs, with the Cubs game, was Bodie's arm at third base and his capability to play third base. His bat's definitely going to help, and I think he's definitely, over the last couple of years, he's improved, I don't want to say drastically, but he's definitely on the upward. Do I think he's going to hit, you know, get up to a level of like a Anthony Rendon, Chris Bryant, or you know, some other top key third baseman? I don't know, but with the, you know, long-term contract that he has and, you know, the low amount of money, he's definitely a mainstay with this team for third base. And if you end up trading Chris Bryant in the next month and have to rely on Bodie for the rest of the season, I don't think it's going to be a negative for this team. So, I mean, it just, it, to me, more and more every day, every move that Ross and, you know, I don't know what the discussions are, obviously, between him and the front office, but it just seems like it's all signs point to Chris Bryant being gone. And if you weren't watching, it was a nice, solid play at third base by the Twins' third baseman to catch a fly ball to close out the game against the Pirates. Which I have to say, I like their unis. I don't know if it's a Nike thing, the way they designed them this year, but the Pirates away jersey and the Twins got going on. It's traditional, but it's pretty cool. You have to see them. But I don't know. Do you just kind of feel like everything that they're doing, you know, Chicago media obviously is in tune a little bit too, but all signs point to Brian's gone. If not,
yeah,
now,
you know, I don't think he's going anywhere this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they'll, you know, they'll kind of have the off season a little bit to see where this goes. But you know, there's not going to be any signing him because he's a Scott Boras client. So you're not going to get that year early. You know, okay, I'll sign and give up my last year of arbitration. You know, Boras doesn't, he doesn't do those kind of things. But, you know, they, if they're going to move them, they got to move them while they're going to get something for them. You know, I was a little surprised when I was kind of talking to Sean McHugh about this. He thinks they'll hang on to them, you know, all the way to free agency. And I just can't. I can't see them doing that because they're probably not going to be able to re-sign him. And you know Theo likes to get stuff. You know, he's going to want to get something in return.
Yeah, but even despite Theo wanting to get something in return for the team and looking at the business perspective, don't you think that's the best way to go, to approach it?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, you know, I mean, if you know you can't sign this guy, you know, you've got to try to get something for him. And that again, kind of falls into the, you know, you need to trade him earlier rather than later, because the sooner you trade him, the more value you get. But you're not going to be able to trade him this year while you're winning. You know, if they had gotten off to a horrible start, or, you know, the opposite start of what they did, then, you know, all cards would be on the table and, you know, you would be talking to people right now about possibly moving him. Then they could have him for an entire year plus whatever, you know, you got left of this, you know, cluster, whatever. But yeah, they're off to way too good of a start to move him. So he's here for whatever happens for the remainder of this year, you know, and then we'll see what the off season brings, or, you know, how it kind of goes with all this. I mean, we still don't even know if there'll be fans in the stands come next year. You know, it would be nice, you know, it would be nice if they could, you know, work things out and we could get back to a, you know, a normal sporting life along with just everybody getting back to their normal life. But yeah, I mean, who knows? But I can't see them letting him play out the string and then just walking away going, hey, thanks, guys. You know, it was great. And, you know, Scott and I are going out to get my $30 million a year from the Phillies or whoever's going to pony up the money.
Yeah, who are currently in last place at 1-3, but what does it matter? We've only played four games. And Miami's still in first at 2-1. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting how they figure that out. You know, but even that, and I know you obviously won't have the answer. I know you'll come up with something. But for the Cubs, you know you're not going to sign them. And let's not even talk. We'll stick on the Chris Bryant topic. But, I mean, this goes for pretty much any team. You know, I mean, let's just look at the top. You know, the Cubs, the Braves, Rockies, Dodgers, Padres, you know, Yankees, Twins, and Oakland. You've got your top player, and you know he's not staying with you. Do you ride out the rest of this extended spring training season to become the extended spring training world champion?
Yes.
Is there
Well, you know, it depends, you know, who you are and where you are in the standings. Is basically how teams make, all these decisions, you know, where they're going to kind of go with these guys and how it's going to kind of work out. Who knows where they'll actually, you know, start to fall into place. But yeah, you know, I mean, again, you get off to a terrible start and you've got a guy with value that you can get a lot for in return. And, you know, I mean, teams are going to be all in on winning this because they're not looking at it like you and I are, where it's it's an asterisk of a world championship. You know, they're looking at it as a world championship. So, you know, if you can find the right contender, why not make the move? You know, what's it going to hurt? You know, you're planning on getting rid of the guy anyway. So, go ahead and make it now, you know, maybe a year earlier than you thought you were going to make it. But at least, you're getting good value in return and you can sell it to your fans like that. Because eventually you're going to have to start to try to sell tickets again. So, you know, be it Chris Bryant or whoever it ends up being, but just kind of, you know, looking at the Cubs situation, now, you know, they could keep Bryant for 2020 if they wanted to, or for 2021. He is, you know, in arbitration. They could hang on to him, but, you know, if they do, when they, you know, they hit that, like next year they have, you know, it's not too bad. It's Tyler Chatwood, Jose Quintana, and then all the guys they brought in on one-year deals, Jason Kipnis, Steven Souza, Jeremy Jeffress. Those are their only free agents. So, you know, they'll probably have to decide if they want to bring one of those pitchers back or if they're happy with what they have. But then you're looking at, you know, it's Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber are all heading into their last year of arbitration. So when you get to 2022, there's no way in hell you can sign all three of those guys. Plus then Wilson Contreras is just a year away from free agency. You know, and there's no way you're signing all four of those guys. You know, there's a chance you might not be able to pull, you know, three out of the four. So, you know, you're going to have to make that decision. And, you know, I mean, the more you look at it, you know, Bryant kind of seems like the odd man out, especially because the Cubs have had contract talks with him and they've went nowhere. Now, again, you know, when they offered him, 10 years at $100 million, I understood why he turned that down. You know, but, I mean, that could have been, a starter. But, you know, I mean, we've seen it. We know how Scott Boras likes to handle his guys. And, I just can't see them coming to an agreement. You know, I mean, I think the only player it happened with was Steven Strasburg, and that's because he told Boris he wanted to stay, so get something done.
Yeah, but even with that, you know, when they offered Chris Bryant that, you're looking at a kid who College World Series winner, ML, you know, minor league baseball MVP, MLB Rookie of the Year, then the MVP, and you're just going to slap him in the face with that lowball offer?
Yeah.
I mean, that's your starting point. And, you know, of course, Theo's going to tell us all that, oh, well, you know, Big Tom isn't going to let me spend any money, so that's why I offered him that. When you can find a plethora of ways, I mean, look at the Phillies. They're going to be paying Bryce Harper for, you know, I forgot the term, but what's like 30 years he's going to be getting paid from them? So, you know, there's ways around it, and it just seems like to me it was not even seemed like to me. I think it just seems like this to everybody that if that's your starting point, you're not even you know, let's just say he wants $400 million. From $100 million to $400 million, there's no middle ground when you start looking at that huge, you know, that big of a difference. And of course, I don't think he's looking for $400 million. I don't know if that would be, you know, in the works for them. But you know what I mean? It's obviously, you know, we want to start low. He wants to start high, and we meet in the middle. But when you go that low compared to, you know, what your comps are, doesn't that just kind of go, well, I just don't even see any worse than trying to negotiate. We're better off going out into the field, you know, out into the market, because they're going to take us serious. Where, you know, Theo's going to say, oh, Tom's not letting us spend money. Sorry, Chris, here's $5, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the Cubs' biggest problem is they really seem like they don't want to pay the luxury tax, where it's clear like a team like the Dodgers don't care as long as they're winning, you know, because you add that Mookie Betts contract into all the other contracts they have, and they're going to be paying a luxury tax for a long time. But it doesn't seem to bother them, even the Yankees have been to the point where they're trying to stay under the luxury tax. I think the Red Sox are over, so I won't be surprised to see them make some moves to get themselves under with the position they're kind of in. But yeah, you know, and I mean that kind of, you know, it can tie a general manager's hands, be it Theo Epstein or, you know, Ben Cherington or Stan Kasten or, you know, whoever's running your ball club these days. So, you know, what do you do? I mean, if you can't offer them, you got to move them. And I think that was part of the, you know, the Red Sox motivation to move Mookie Betts is they didn't want to pay that luxury tax anymore. And they knew he was going to get a big deal. So, they did the best they could and got what they thought was fair value. And, you know, the Dodgers got a pretty good player who apparently has a finger injury or something and isn't in tonight's lineup, but apparently it's not serious. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, the Cubs are in a very similar situation with Chris Bryant. You know, I mean, you just can't let them walk away and get nothing.
No, you can't. But, you know, when you pull in the competitive balance, a.k.a. luxury tax, for 2020 it sits at $208 million. They're projected with the minor leagues, and, you know, everything's thrown off because of, you know, COVID and whatever. But they're looking at about $219 million. So, you know, roughly 11 and a quarter over. So their estimated tax bill at 30% is, three and a third million. You can figure the math on your own if you want. I just don't see that as that big of a luxury tax. But when I hear you say the Cubs don't want to pay the luxury tax, I'm sitting there thinking that, you know, when it comes from the owner's perspective, I don't think he's considering any of that. He's just, you know, putting out numbers. This is what I want to work with. You know, make it work. You know, he's not taking – let's just say, you know, you and I was the owner, you're the president, you know. I'm going to give you a number, and I'm going to say work with this, right? And that's where your concern would be the luxury tax and this and that. So being at that point, if the concern is left on Theo to either be above or be below the luxury tax, knowing his history and what he likes to do and what he loves more than anything, and that is draft picks and prospects, of course he's going to want to stay under that luxury tax so he doesn't, so that he can continue to, you know, give qualifying offers to those that, you know, get them, knowing that they'll reject them, so that he can at least get those extra draft picks after the first round. You know where I'm going? You see where I'm going with that? Like, he's the draft pick guy. So he always wants to keep his draft picks. Therefore, he wants to stay under the luxury tax in that sense. So that, I don't know. I just feel like that's the, from what you're saying, that's the kind of the route that he wants to go, not so much the ownership. You know, because, I mean, let's be honest, for a baseball team, the $3 million really seemed like a huge hit on the luxury tax. I mean, obviously, like you said, in the next couple of years, if they're trying to sign all these guys, they're not going to stay below it, you know, obviously.
Well, you know, and I mean, that's the other thing you got to look at. I mean, if you're picking between Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber, who are you keeping?
I want Baez.
So, you know, and that's kind of the way, you know, things go. It's like, okay, well, you know, here's my choice. You know, I mean, Chris Bryant is obviously a fantastic player. You know, there's no doubt about it. I know he gets a bad rap because he, you know, I think he played hurt and it really kind of cost him. So, you know, but, you know, his numbers have been good. You know, like you said, he's a rookie of the year. He's an MVP. He's got a fantastic resume. You know, he's a solid defender. I don't know if he's a gold glover, but he's a solid defender. You know, he can play multiple positions if you need him to. So it's, you know, it's not out of the question to, you know, to do that with him. You know, so there's value there, but, you know, Javi just kind of seems to have that something special about him when it comes to a baseball player. You know, and I mean, I won't be surprised if down the road he wins an MVP. You know, I don't think anybody would be shocked by that. I think he finished second a couple of years ago. So, you know, he's, you know, his name is there. People know who he is. And, you know, honestly, I mean, if you were putting top lists together of just, you know, the best players, I think Javi comes in ahead of Bryant, doesn't he?
Yeah. And, you know, and I don't want to take, you know, you throw all the accolades out there for Bryant, and I don't want to take away any of that and say that, ooh, I just want, you know, Baez over Bryant. And it's not like that. I just, you know, like you said, you could see the writing on the wall and the bridge hasn't been burnt yet, but it's definitely an Illinois bridge that's needed of tons of maintenance that we'll never see. And I think that Brian sees that too. And that's one of the reasons, you know, like you pointed out with Boris and everything, I just don't see it happening. And for me, that's why I'm like, hey, all in, let's go out and do whatever we can to keep Baez. Because you are, and I think this is the hardest part when I say this. And, you know, of course, I'm not taking anything away from the talent that's already on this team. But of all the players on that team, there is nobody in the league at all that can replace Javi. You know, and I was not his biggest fan, you remember. You know, well, it wasn't even just about being his biggest fan. It was about the fact that I felt like he came up too soon, but, you know, it's besides the point now. But, I mean, when you look at this game as a whole and you look at what this young man can do and how he plays the game and how he could be a representative of not only the Chicago Cubs but the league if they so chose to, you know, but he's got that young Latin attitude, so that's not right, you know. But I don't think you could replace him.
Yeah,
whereas
you know,
I think you could fill those other spots a little easier.
Yeah, it, you know, and again, I mean, it's just the, you know, the way, you know, the way it's kind of played out and the way it's going to work, you know, Baez is going to get a big contract, but probably not as big as Bryant's, you know, and then again, you throw Schwarber in the mix, who is going to get money. You know what I mean? The main concern that they may have to worry about is, you know, there may be an American League team out there rubbing their hands together waiting for Kyle Schwarber to get free agency. You know, even though we should have the full-time DH by the time he hits free agency. You know, but if not, or for some reason it's not in the new CBA, which I think would be a miracle, you know, there could be a team just going, hey, man, you know, we had this guy, you know. I mean, imagine Kyle Schwarber in a Yankee uniform with that short right field where we saw DJ LeMahieu hit, like, literally a check swing fly ball out yesterday to start the game. You know, I mean, he could legitimately be a, you know, a 50-home run threat with, you know, in that uniform playing enough games just by pulling the ball every time he comes up.
Yeah.
So, you know, there could be those teams out there that see him, you know, as that guy Theo promised, you know, that 40-plus home run guy, you know, that we were going to get. And even though he'll only hit about 230 or 240, you know, again, that's baseball today, and that's fine and dandy. Nobody cares about that. You know, as long as he's lighting up the scoreboard. And I did realize, Dan, you know, we talked about the ball being juiced. You know, or I think I talked about it. I don't know. But I definitely saw it last night. If you go in and look for some highlights, Joey Votto hits a 3-2 home run while he's choked up on the bat and trying to protect the plate. And then Fernando Tatis inside outs the ball over the right field wall. Like, yeah, tell me these balls are regular baseballs. Uh-huh. And if you believe that, I got swampland in Florida I want to sell you. It was just hilarious watching these highlights this morning. So,
oh, they're selling it, though. They're selling that, though.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to the Cubs last night, and that, of course, was brought up. You know, how come more players don't do the choke up like Rizzo? And, you know, Joey Votto did it, and, you know, the low count or the high count and all that. And it was out of there.
But yeah, I thought it was humorous because yeah, I noticed right away he was choked up. I was like, oh, okay. And then they showed the highlight and he hits home run. I'm like, oh God. You know, and then between the LeMahieu one and the Tatis one, I was like, really? I'm like, we're going to, you know, I figure the season is short enough to where they probably won't say anything, but yeah, it's just ridiculous.
But Big Jack, they, you know, listen to Rizzo. It gives you so much more control and power, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Well, it gives you so much more control. It doesn't give you any power. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, it's kind of designed not to do, is give you power.
Well, I've got one for you, though, okay? And, you know, this is – I want you to pretend you're in that position. I don't know which team – you know, low outlier team that's, you know, while right now it looks like you could make the, you know, the playoffs because everyone's 5-2 in the NL West or something like that. And you've got a great pitcher that's major league ready, who could, you know, I don't even know what good numbers are anymore these days. But you've got the guy, you know, you don't have a Strasburg or a Clayton Kershaw, but you've got a young man who's kind of on that path, and you've got a couple of good guys in the farm system. I don't know what else the Cubs would be looking for, but, you know, you're one of those outlier teams that even though it looks positive, you know you're not going to make the playoffs. When do you start approaching the Cubs to try to lure Chris Bryant away, or do you even attempt to do that to try to rebuild? And I guess that's who I'd be looking for more. you know, a team that's kind of on a rebuild and just outside of playoffs, but are ready to make that move in the next couple of years. And I would love to throw in the White Sox into that, but you and I both know that. And I don't think it has anything to do with, like, a rivalry, you know, the fan rivalry, just more so it just wouldn't happen, you know, sending a Bryant or a Schwarber down to the South Side in exchange. But do you see anybody that's in that position that might have something attractive for the Cubs that's, you know, an outlier team that could possibly be on the move? Maybe even someone from Tampa Bay, you know. They always
I think the one team, and this is where the fact that, you know, they're, you know, I think it might be smart for the Cubs to show Bryant's versatility. You know, the Padres could be a good landing spot. You know, the bat obviously plays in really well with what they have. He would need to move to the outfield because obviously they have Machado, you know, on the long-term deal. But they have a lot of quality young, especially pitchers, which I think might be something that could really interest the Cubs, you know, with Chatwood's contract coming up and Quintana. You know, I don't know how interested they are in re-signing any of those guys. I know Alec Mills looked really good last night, but I'm not sure what we can read into anything that happens this year, you know, be it good or bad. So, you know, I think, you know, San Diego does pop, you know, right up, you know, there right away. It's like, oh, hey, you know, look at this. You know, it could be something, and I don't know if they would give up enough, but, you know, Philadelphia is desperately in need of a third baseman. I mean, they're playing Gene Segura there every day, who I like as a player, but he's not a third baseman. You know, and they're another team with some, you know, some decent young pitching. You know, I mean, maybe, you know, trade him there and then let them worry about re-signing him because they were the team that, you know, were reunited with Bryce Harper and all that, you know, that kind of deal. But, you know, those could be a couple things. I mean, you know, I guess there's always the possibility that, like, Atlanta could get in the mix, you know, because basically I think, what is it, it's Austin Riley and Johan Camargo. I don't know why they don't like Riley. He was a third baseman all the way up through their system. But, you know, for some reason, I think they see him as an outfielder. And Camargo, I just honestly believe, is better served as a utility guy. I don't know. You know, they seem to be one of those teams who are kind of unwilling to move this young pitching. You know, and obviously Fulton Awitz didn't work out. And then yesterday they got, you know, the news that Soroka blew out his Achilles and he's done for the year. Yikes. So they're in a, you know, even though they're off to a great start, their division has really struggled. They're in a bit of a weird spot now because, you know, their pitching is kind of falling apart. So, you know, they could be like three National League options. You know, over in the American, I don't know. You know, like, I know Seattle is building a farm system, but they're not to the point where they would need a guy like Bryant. You know, the Sox aren't going to make that move because they have so many quality young players, you know, that are at the major league level now. I don't know. You know, maybe you can reunite him with Joe Maddon if the Angels have some prospects you like. But I know they don't have a super highly rated farm system. So, yeah, it's, you know, there aren't a lot of quality American League suitors, I don't think, for them. But, you know, there's some, you know, I mean, you could, in, you know, in reality, you could also always turn to the Dodgers. And, you know, they have a fantastic farm system. And, you know, either Bryant or Justin Turner could move across and play first base. And, you know, the other one plays third. You know, well, if the Dodgers were willing to do something like that and really run with their cap number.
I was going to say, depending on the left-handed batter, Justin Turner does play some shortstop.
So, you know, I think there are some options. It's just, you know, like everything else, you know, what are they going to want back for him? you know, I mean, you know, you have to decide what's the guaranteed year of Chris Bryant worth to you prospect-wise. You know, is it two quality ones and one average one? You know, is it just kind of, you know, four average prospects that you hope work out? You know, do you have to land that one big stud prospect like the White Sox did with Chris Sale when they got Moncada? So, you know, it's just going to kind of shuffle out, you know, and see what they're, you know, see what they're looking for and who has the best kind of deal.
Okay. I know we've gotten very Chicago heavy, but and, you know, this conversation, it is what it is, but this conversation, or the next thing I want to ask you, I think it can kind of cross over to some other kind of rivalry towns. And, you know, that being, you know, New York, you know, L.A., Canada, you know, you can kind of go on and on. But I was listening to our local, one of your favorites, Cap, this morning. I dropped my daughter off at babysitter. So I tuned into the Cap for a little bit, the Cap Man. And he was getting burned today by all his callers because he has a very heavy, obviously it's local based, so very heavy Chicago listenership. And the fact that he will watch a White Sox game and his producer, I forgot the kid's name, but you know, his first name is Danny. You know, Danny made this great point, and I kind of feel I'm kind of on the same realm, and I think you might agree. So he made this point that it sucks right now for him as a diehard Cub fan, and you know, you've got to bolster your fandom in Chicago. Because, well, I don't agree with, you know, a Cub Sox fan person, but I can go to a Sox game and enjoy it and root for them if, you know, they have a good play or something like that. I just don't wear their gear. So I guess that's besides the point. But they were just getting burned on how you cannot enjoy both. If you're a Cub fan, you're just, you know, a Cub fan. If you're a Sox fan, that's it. There's no in between. And, you know, Danny was making the point that, and everything we had talked about, you know, over the next couple of years, this team that won one World Series and hasn't really been a championship contending team, despite a rebuild that was supposed to give us a team like the Dodgers who makes the playoffs every single year, all the way to the NLCS and possibly the World Series every year, which only happened once. And that he was excited, you know, it was kind of hard to watch, but it was exciting to watch the White Sox because they were kind of in the position that the Cubs were in, you know, to 2015, you know, when that all happened. And they were just getting burned. You know, the fact that they made a statement, a journalistic statement, stating the obvious of what's being presented in front of us, they were just getting burned, you know, by both Cub and Sox fan. Like, Sox fans, you can't like the Sox. You know, Cub fans, you can't like the Sox either. I have more respect for you as a Cub fan if you hate the Sox, and I'm a Sox fan. You know, and I just, I get it. You got to have that fan mentality, but sometimes you need to just take a pill, chill pill and, like, relax. But, I mean, are you kind of in that same boat too? How do you feel about that? And then, of course, you know, how do you feel about the fandom and then the way it looks for the Cubs and Sox going forward at this point?
Yeah, you know, I've always been kind of baffled by why you can't root for both teams. You know, like I've never really understood that. You know, like in my family, you know, my dad is from Macomb, Illinois, and you're either a Cub fan or a Cardinal fan. And then my mother's family's from the South Side, so they were all Sox fans. So I had this odd family where it was, you know, Sox Cubs, Cardinals, Sox Cubs, Cardinals. You know, and a lot of it was, you know, like, you know, my dad rooted for the Cubs, but he didn't hate the Cardinals. And, you know, his brothers and sister were the same way. They were Cardinal fans, but they didn't want to see the Cubs do bad. You know, and like this was when the, you know, the National League didn't play the American League. So, you know, they had almost zero, zero anger or anything towards the Sox. You know, like when I was growing up, we went to two games a year. We went to one Cub game and one Sox game. So, I was kind of raised to, watch both teams and hope both teams do well. And, that was just kind of the deal. And, and I know, plenty of families who fight over, which team is better and actually, get into physical confrontations over it. But, mine wasn't like that. There was, always good-natured ribbing when the Cubs would beat the Cardinals or, vice versa, or, when the Sox won the World Series, there were a lot of, my mother's relatives were all excited. When are the Cubs going to do it, blah, blah, blah. But, nothing to the point where it was, you can't root for this team. So that's always kind of, kind of baffled me. I mean, you have your team, and obviously when your team is playing, when the Cubs are playing the Sox, you're going to root for the team you're a fan of. But when they're not, why wouldn't you want to see a team from your town do well?
Mm-hmm.
I've never quite understood the mindset behind it. I mean, is it so important for your ego or just your general nature that you've got to be able to, you've got to be able to crush somebody who likes another team? So, yeah, I've never understood that.
That's why I was throwing it at you. And, I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, because oddly, this goes on at my work a lot, and it's really weird, and especially for me to say it, the kind of the maturity level of some of these people, because, mostly it's with football, and it's Bears-Packers, so that's kind of where that kind of comes in. It's one thing to kind of, okay, well, the Bears won, ha-ha, we're going to tease you. But, I've seen people get into, like, face-to-face screaming arguments. And it's like, A, you didn't play in the game, and B, I don't think you owe this guy any money because you guys didn't make any kind of wager. So what's the argument about? I don't get it. Why are we arguing? You know what happened in the game. You know who won. What could there be to argue about?
Yeah. And
so yeah.
Not to interrupt you, but I'm free. So I don't know if you want to go over time before we run out of time.
So I guess we can if we remember how to do. Well, I guess there's really nothing. We're okay. I forgot, how long does overtime go?
Like 10, 15 minutes?
I guess we'll figure it out when we're moving along. But, it's just kind of, like I said, it's just kind of baffling. And then your point about, which team seems to be in a better position, I think at this point right now you've got to lean to the White Sox. Right. So, all right. Well, let me see if I remember how to do this. Dan and I are going to keep going, believe it or not. So now you can listen to us. You go to blogtalkradio.com. You find our show, Sports Time Radio. You're looking for the title of today's episode, which just happens to be "You Look So Good in Love," because that's the song that was on the radio when I was putting this in. So check out that, and you can hear us run over for a few minutes. 10-15. We'll see how long it lasts. I didn't play the music, so Dan and I can just kind of keep going and check that out. And you know the rest of the deal. SportsTimeRadio.com, the new blog goes up tomorrow. Swing on over to the Facebook page, give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, at SportsTimeRadio. And then, of course, feel free to hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you would do that. Then, if I remember correctly, you can't call in overtime, so I don't need to give you the phone number. But thanks for listening live and hunt us down in overtime. But, yeah, you know, like I was saying, Dan, you got to think, you know, looking at it, it's the White Sox that are in the best position right now, isn't it? I mean, you know, they've got so much young talent, it's hard not to pick them, right?
Yeah, well, you know, the biggest comparison that was made was, or compare, whatever you want to call it, the argument, was the fact that, you know, what are the Sox going to do in 2 or 3 years? And, you know, the biggest point that was made was, yeah, they barring any injuries, they really should be in a position in the next 2 or 3 years with the way their contracts are set up that they should really push to try to win. You know, maybe obviously not this season. I don't know if it's a big push, but the next or the following, because of the Grandal contract, the Keuchel, and the first baseman DH. Why can't I think of his name now?
Jose Abreu.
The guy. Yeah, Abreu. I was going to call him something else, but almost pulled a Mr. Fantasy. you know, because you're going to make that move. They have to do something now, you know, because Grandal is a 33-year-old, which the guy was corrected. He's 31. Catcher, and, you know, Keuchel is no John Lester, and their pitching absolutely sucks. I don't know. He just went on and on and on, and it just sounded like a true hard-headed homer, you know, that – while they may have some knowledge of the team, they really don't look at it, and they just look at the pieces that they don't like and pick on that. You know what I mean? And it just seemed to me like, regardless of Grandal in their lineup or not, I don't think he's going to be the biggest key contributor if they win a World Series. You know, I'm sorry, but I don't know. I just don't see that he would be the biggest contributor, and they can, you know, win with him or win without him. I don't think he's a major factor in it, and neither is his age. You know, Keuchel, you know, it's here or there, but I still think they have a lot of young raw talent that's just going to get better, even though they got rid of probably my favorite, Yomar Sanchez, which that was disappointing. I still think he could have played well with that team. But, you know, it's one of those things. And then I have my brother-in-law's father. You know, he used to be a White Sox fan, and now he's been watching the Cubs more because he likes Rizzo and Bryant. So I wonder how that'll change in the next 2 years. But he absolutely hates Tim Anderson. And I'm like, why do you guys hate Tim Anderson? You know, he hasn't peaked yet. He's still getting better. And then, you know, everyone's just trashing Nick Madrigal. So it's like you got a bunch of players who haven't really had time to establish themselves, and you're ripping them before. But then if you're a Cub fan, you know, you're just drinking, you're mainlining the Kool-Aid, and Kyle Schwarber is, you know, Babe Ruth. So, I get the homer thing, but, you know, can you explain what the hell I'm talking about or give me some insight or – I don't even know where I'm going with it. That's how confused I was after listening to these guys.
Well, you know, you have to remember, too, you know, the Sox have locked up Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, and Luis Roberts for, you know, like 5 and 6 years apiece. And, you know, they got them at really good value. So these guys are going to be there for a long time under what's going to be really team-friendly contracts. You know, I mean, you have to hate Tim Anderson because he won a batting title, and batting average means absolutely nothing in today's game. So, you know, you immediately dislike him. But, yeah, I mean, it's humorous because the White Sox are in a very similar position to where the Cubs were, you know, right before they won it. You know, the Cubs needed to add some veteran guys, you know, they were able to find their, you know, David Ross was one of them, you know, and in the White Sox case, they added a guy who's a little more offensive. Obviously Grandal's a, you know, a better offensive player than Ross was. You know, I didn't know if they needed the Edwin Encarnacion ad, but it's really only for 1 year. you know, if he helps them win this year, that's great. And then you can, you know, you don't have to pick up his option. You know, and then it just, it's all going to kind of depend now on, you know, who develops. You know, is Giolito a number one? You know, Dylan Cease had a really good outing last time, but his first one stunk. So which pitcher are you getting? You know, you need Keuchel at the top of the rotation. I mean, former Cy Young Award winner, veteran guy, won a World Series with the Astros. Sound anything like John Lester when the Cubs signed him, Dan? Except I don't think Lester won a Cy Young, but, you know, he was on that Red Sox team, kind of helped them get to where they needed to go. Veteran left-handed pitcher. So, you know, it, you need that guy right there to kind of mentor, you know, how this is going to go. You know, hopefully they'll get Michael Kopech back and healthy. You know, I know he seems to be going through a lot of personal issues. I thought he was getting divorced after they just had a baby, so that's kind of goofy. You know, and then it's just who's, you know, who's the next pitcher? I mean, Carlos Rodon left his outing again last night because he was feeling shoulder trouble. So, you know, you got to kind of wonder how much longer you go with him. He's got one more year of arbitration, so he'll probably hang around. But, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, Giolito is still 3 years away from free agency. So, you know, you're going to have him in the rotation for a long time. So, you know, you'll get a good look at him and try to decide what you're going to do with him. You know, if you decide Lopez isn't going to be a starter, you know, he might not be too bad as a, you know, a back end of the bullpen guy. He throws really hard. You know, if you can get him to harness it and cut down on the walks, maybe he's the guy who steps in when Colomé finally leaves, because he's not exactly what you could call, you'd call a lockdown closer. So, you know, they're in a very similar spot to where the Cubs were. It's just going to kind of depend who develops and how they develop, and, you know, if Joe Madden doesn't overmanage the bullpen and almost cost you the World Series. Oh, wait. So.
Before my next one, I do have to say, as a Cubs fan, I'm always going to mess with my Sox fans, friends, and family. You know, you got to give them here and there. And the one person it's part of it. The one person I did always give crap to was the Hawk. You know who the Hawk is, my mother-in-law's boyfriend, and that's because him, the White Sox were in the World Series. That's literally how I met them. Okay. I started dating my wife, you know, at that time before that. Oddly, my mother-in-law's birthday was around the time the World Series was going on. Go figure. And my now sister-in-law invited me to my mother-in-law's birthday dinner randomly. And I knew the Hawk as a White Sox fan. Okay. I said that twice. Because never once did he root for the Cubs, watch the Cubs. He always gave me crap for being a Cub fan. But then guess what happened a week or two after the Cubs won the World Series? Yep, we're at my mother-in-law's for the birthday party, and what is he wearing? Locker room issue, World Series, Cubs hat, and I think a hoodie or, you know, some other paraphernalia for the team. And then all of a sudden, no, I've always been a Cubs fan. I'm like, you've literally never worn a Cubs thing, talked positively about the Cubs, watched a Cubs game with me when I was watching it at all together. You know what I mean? So him I always gave a hard time to, because those ones, you know, it is what it is. He was definitely jumping on that wagon. But I always, you know, I always find that funny. So I had to put that out there. I still, you know, razz my Sox fans, friends, and family. But, you know, when the Sox are looking good, I'm not afraid to admit it. But with that, the other argument that I just thought was hilarious was, again, someone who I think is knowledgeable about only their team, and saying that the Theo Jed team was better than the Kenny Rick Hahn team. Which, you know, if you were to flip that and put Kenny as a GM, I think we could have a better basis, you know, a better argument for that. But at the same time, you know, you could take Jed, and I must call them Jeddo, Jed and Theo, but we all really know that it's Theo's show. And we can go Kenny and Rick, but from what I understand, Kenny's no longer involved, and Rick really has the reins of the team. So it's, you know, it's Rick versus Theo, and Rick's only been in the office for, what, a couple of years now? So is that even a fair comparison? Because I feel like since Rick Hahn's come in, improvements have been made to this team to help get them better into a winning championship team. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, you know, it's, again, it's another thing where you can't really compare it because guy has their own strategy they go about, you know, and that's kind of the odd thing about how they ended up almost in the same place. But, you know, like, we know how Theo worked. You know, you throw those qualifying offers out there to players you know aren't going to take them. You accumulate those draft picks, and then you do a good job of landing the early round draft picks that help you. So, you know, that was the way he did it. You know, Rick Hahn did it by making trades. You know, he dealt off the good pieces, you know, the Chris Sales, the Jose Quintanas, you know, anybody who had any value, you know, he dealt off to get a value piece, you know, a Moncada, Jimenez, you know, whoever they felt was necessary. So it's, you know, yeah, I mean, they're general managers, so I guess you can compare them, but, you know, in some cases that's not always fair because, you know, if the Cubs wanted to, they could go out and sign every free agent on the market they make and have the money to do it. The White Sox couldn't do that. So, you know, you just got to – you know, it's almost impossible comparisons. You know, it's like comparing guys from different eras because every team is just different, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and that one was just one that just cracked me up because I'm like, you know, he's like, oh, we've got Jed and Theo. I'm like, well, what does Jed do but do a radio interview
right.
Every couple of weeks or something? Oh, I forgot. He helped bring Rizzo from San Diego. Yeah.
Well, you know, and then if you look at it, Jed and Theo have won one World Series. Kenny and Rick have won one World Series. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and the argument is always like, oh, Cubs better, Sox better, you know, Sox suck, Cubs suck, whatever the argument is, but when you look at it, you look at the whole, and I think this is why the Sox are in a better position because Theo failed to do what his five-year plan was set to do, and that was to be a team like the Dodgers. I don't understand how you peak in 16. You were ahead of schedule in 2015. You go and win the 2016 World Series. You knock out the even champion of the decade. And then the next year you fail to secure first place, and then the following year you're knocked out in a wild card game. To me, that 5-year plan didn't work.
You and I spent basically an entire podcast discussing what a disappointment the Cubs are.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's my team. I love them, but that whole plan was disappointing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when you look at it, the fact that they've only accomplished one World Series
and one NLCS,
is just a total letdown. And, you know, obviously they'll be able, you know, to live off that one World Series forever because it took so long to get it. But, yeah, when you go back and look at this team, okay, maybe, you know, winning two is a little difficult, but at least get there. They haven't even gotten there again.
No. You know, and it was one signing that made a difference that they couldn't keep. And they were very lucky that the Yankees were on a semi-fire sale.
Yeah.
Because, I'm still a huge believer. We did not have Aroldis Chapman. That flag, that World Series banner is not raised the next year.
Oh, yeah. There's no way they don't stay winning without him. He was the piece they needed, you know, and they went and got it. And, you know, in reality, they paid a big price for it, you know, as that's going to play out. But it won you a World Series. So, you know, I mean, that's the way you're always going to have to look at it, because, you know, matchup-wise, it's going to go down in history as one of the worst Cub trades. But you needed Aroldis Chapman to win a World Series. You know, without him, you don't do it.
No.
You know, unfortunately, Gleyber Torres is probably going to go on to have a Hall of Fame career if he stays healthy as a New York Yankee. But again, we wouldn't have a World Series without trading him. So. You know, it was worth it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got the ring. I got to try one on one.
There you go. That's all that matters then. So we are safe. All right. Well, shall we go home for the day, since we're about 15 minutes in, and I don't know how much longer this is going to last.
Yeah, I don't want to get caught mid sentence.
Yeah, I will. I will play us out then, and we'll see how this goes. We'll be back tomorrow at 4:30. We're not all here, but we'll be tomorrow at 4:30. I'm going to host the deal at sportstownradio.com. The new blog is going to close up tomorrow. Just in the morning, come on over and check it out. While you're there, just over to the Facebook page and give me a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed. It's on Sportstown Radio. First, feel free to help me analyze on the market. Nice to be there. Thanks, cool.
Sportstown Radio.